Right, this is Pure Decking, show number 474 for Thursday, April the 7th, 1992. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and trying to figure out how to hack time. Broken a lot of pocket watches. Anyways, tonight, it's just me and Aryu. What's up, Aryu?
Not much, man. Looking forward to that wintry air, so I can start playing the more graphically intense video games. That's setting shit on fire.
I would say invest in air conditioning, but you might get shot in your country right now for that. So,
I saw an article earlier, I'll have to find it again, where somebody has made a version of Doom that sets your computer on fire.
I saw the version of Doom that uses RTX. Are we talking about the same thing?
I think it's that one, yeah.
Oh, because
you saw that article as well.
Yeah, does it overclock the graphics card too much, or you just
I don't know. I sort of skimmed it and went, I'll come back to that.
There were a lot of people saying that they tried it and that, like, their moderately high-end rigs were struggling. It's like, to play Doom? Seriously? But yeah,
if I come across it again, I'll throw it back in. But I just gave it a quick look, and yeah, it was... Like, I have a really high-end PC, and it's crashing because of heat problems.
Wow. Well, you know, there are several games. I think Elden Ring was one of them that early versions of it were killing graphics cards, because I guess
was that the game, was it?
I think it was Elden Ring. It was like the title screen wasn't frame rate limited, and it had all this shit turned on, so it was able to just bam the card, and it was like generating thousands of frames per second, and there was no limit to the thing, so it was just, you know, murdering these cards. But, you know, I loaded up Quake 2 RTX on this new laptop I picked up here a while back. You know, it's got that 3080 in it. And, you know, it's not a steady 60. It's doing the frame scaling. It's, you know, bouncing around, and it's just like... And, you know, it's just makes it very clear that stuff that uses the RTX like mad, the graphics cards just aren't ready for it. I mean, they support it, but, you know, it has to kind of be used sparingly because, I mean, it's just a can't, you know, it's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
So, but it's all right. I got a new toy coming to play with. I'm actually hoping it shows up tomorrow. So.
Oh, the Steam Deck?
Steam Deck, yeah. First round of Q2 orders.
Get a review
orders.
Next week.
Yeah, actually, we could do a review of it next week. So, first round of Q2 orders, you know, because I was 5 minutes into the pre-order on the day it opened. It's ridiculous.
I haven't seen any hype around it.
None whatsoever.
For it. Yeah, I'm not seeing much on the Steam Deck. So it's either a good thing or it's a good thing.
I mean, I'm not sure if you're kidding or not, because I know that you don't go around the same media circles, but it was all over my stuff.
Okay, yeah. Granted, you're in the tech side of things. I'm more in the political science side of things.
The only caveats I've heard to it is it's running SteamOS, which is Linux, so there's some games that just don't flat out don't work on it. It's usually due to an ENG, because the Proton layer is apparently pretty good. I haven't tried a modern Proton layer lately, so I'm looking forward to playing with that, because I, you know, we've talked about it on the show before. I honestly think If Steam Deck is successful enough and you start seeing a lot of games supporting SteamOS, that means they will run on a Linux distribution with Proton installed. So, you know, the excuse of, oh, I play games, I have to run Windows, kind of gets a little thin if SteamOS becomes a success, you know what I mean? So, yep. And I'm looking forward to that, because I would love Windows to be a corporate-only thing, because Windows 11 is looking worse and worse. You know, we talked about them putting ads in Windows Explorer and shit like that. And
no, I know. That's what I'm saying. If it is good, hopefully the community will build on it, and you may be able to have a stable PC build of it.
Well, I've seen a lot of people doing that where they use the USB-C dock with it and use it as a PC, and apparently it's not bad for that. It's not super fantastic because it's essentially a Ryzen chip with an APU, but it's roughly the same APU that's in like the PlayStation 5 and whatever the current Xbox is. Roughly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly the same, but so I'm curious to playing with that. I saw a couple of other screenshots of some software I routinely play with audio-wise running on the Steam Deck quite well, Bitwig and Renoise. So I'm very excited to play with this thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having some fun with this thing. But that, and I'm also curious to load VirtualBox and see, can I load Kali Linux? Can I load Cubes? Can I do some of the other sillier stuff with it? Because,
and do me a favor and at least use it for a week before you start hacking it to bits.
I did 3D print the little block to be able to set it on when you're taking it apart, so you don't crush the joysticks and the buttons. But I'm not going to open it right away.
That's just give it a week at least.
Actually, I ordered the 512 version because I wasn't sure if you'd be able to. You know, when you were doing the pre-orders, they were making a big deal that you're not going to be able to upgrade the internal storage. Of course, that actually turns out not to be true. It's an M2 slot, and you know, it's already on some of the websites and guides are like, well, if you got the 64 gig version of it, here's what you want to buy. Here's where you get the best price of it. Here's how you open it up and swap the disk. It's just like, son of a bitch. But the big version has the anti-glare screen on it too, so it's not a total gem.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there was one Static was looking at too, the 1X player. I don't know if because I know he got a Steam Deck reservation in, but it was a couple hours after I did. So I think he said it was after Q3 for the longest time whenever he looked. So I don't know if he was going to cancel that and go for the 1X player or what. But the only problem with the Steam Deck is because they're trickling them out. I do think there's going to be an ecosystem around them. I think it's just going to take a while because they're not coming out very fast. So
yeah, no, it'll take its time, but I think it'll be good.
So, anyways, I guess let's get started here. First article I have is from informationsecuritybuzz.com. U.S. and German officials have seized what they described as the world's largest and most prominent darknet market, according to Bloomberg. The Hydra market, a darknet market that traffics illicit goods and services, was shut down with wallets containing 25 million worth of Bitcoin confiscated by the German police. Charges were brought to 30-year-old Dmitry Pavlov, a Russian resident, for conspiracy to distribute narcotics and conspiracy to commit money laundering in connection to his operation and administration of HydraNet services. HydraNet offered a wide variety of illegal goods and services, including hacking software, fake IDs, and drugs. The second major bust in the last couple of days, according to Bitcoinist, federal prosecutors in Miami have confiscated roughly $34 million in cryptocurrency from a man suspected of exploiting the dark web to sell Netflix, HBO, and Uber account information, among other popular services. Netflix, HBO, and Uber. I mean,
yeah, I don't understand the Uber.
Well, actually, somebody's Uber account's probably pretty damn valuable versus Netflix and HBO, because you think about it, a Netflix account is what, $10 a month, $8 a month, something like that. HBO is like $12 a month. I mean, okay, it's obnoxious that somebody else gets into your account, or it's even better if you find an account somebody's not using but they're still paying for. Hey, free TV, right? But Uber, on the other hand, Uber can get expensive quick. You know, a couple of trips on somebody's Uber account could save you a couple $100, especially if you're taking longer drives.
Yeah, all right. I see where you're coming from.
So, or even better, if you get into somebody who's driving for Uber and change the banking information, you might be able to steal a month or so worth of their driving revenue. So, you know, I could see the Uber account one being a thing. I'm a little surprised at the Netflix and HBO one, especially with the prevalency of other sites that don't require a login to watch Netflix and HBO shows.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I mean, you've got the nous and wherefore to be able to get through the darknet, pay in Bitcoin or whatever in the darknet just to get a fucking
Netflix show, yeah.
A Netflix account. I think you missed a step. Like, there's an easier way.
It's sort of like going through all the trouble to break into Fort Knox, but instead of stealing any of the gold, you're taking, like, a couple of the handguns that they keep in the armory and, like, you know, some stuff from the gift shop. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Let's see. Crypto holdings in question were initially valued at $47 million, but because of the drop in the price of the world's most sought-after cryptocurrency in the last 6 months, its current value is at $34 million. This represents one of the largest ever seizures of cryptocurrency in the U.S. between 2015 and 2017. This Apple Hoosier Brandy is hitting me, I tell you what. Between 2015 and 2017, the perpetrator allegedly perpetrated more than 100,000 fraudulent online transactions. So, it's interesting. And my question is, what happens to the Bitcoin they're seizing, right?
Because consolidated revenue,
I guess, but they have to transition it to dollars first, don't they? I mean, the government can't spend Bitcoin.
Goes to the CIA or, you know, for black ops.
I mean, I assume they just, I would assume they would auction it like any other seized asset, but or I guess just go on a market and sell it.
Use it in their wetworks networks.
Well, that's probably the most likely answer.
You know. Yeah, that's a fair bit of nothing coin that they got.
Yeah. I mean, I just... You know, because if it's just going to go into a government wallet and sit, or if they're just going to control the wallets it's already sitting in and just never let anything happen to it, you're effectively reducing the supply of Bitcoin in the world by that much. So does everybody else's Bitcoin become more valuable?
I'll bet there's some sort of department of... It'll have some ridiculous fucking name where it goes to, and then they push it out because... I'm pretty sure Nancy Pelosi doesn't know how to navigate her way around a fucking wallet.
That's probably the truth.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, Ms. Pelosi, we've successfully broken up in a dark web, blah, blah, blah. We've got $36 billion worth of Bitcoin. Yeah, she's not going to know what to fucking do with it.
Be like, so how do we get the $36 billion out of it? Well, we dump it on a crypto market and hope the value doesn't change too much before it all sells. Because you dump that much at once, the value's going to change. So, you know, it's sort of like Twitter stock. You buy enough of it, it's going to move.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what would happen. I don't know where all this money goes. Like, oh, we're going to give $100 trillion to, you know, Lithuania to help them with their, you know, tulip factories or something.
Well, it's just that I don't know that the government knows what the hell to do with Bitcoin. I'm sure somebody who works for CIA does, but...
Well, that's what I mean. There's going to be somebody in the wet works area or something.
But I don't know that these agencies really have a clue of what to do with it other than either try to dump it out on a crypto market or just sit on it, you know?
Either that or funnel it to their own fucking private wallets.
Well, they got caught doing that, didn't they? After they busted up the original Silk Road.
Yeah, the FBI.
Had a bunch of people caught doing that.
Uh-huh.
So, because people were watching the wallet, the FBI wallet, and when they started seeing transactions, they started trying to trace it, and they figured it out. See, that's the joke about Bitcoin. Everybody goes, oh, it's private. No, every transaction is actually public.
Everybody can see your shit.
Every transaction on a blockchain cryptocurrency is public. The problem is attribution. Well,
wait till they start pushing FedCoin.
Well, those aren't going to be... I mean, they might call them cryptocurrencies, but those aren't going to be...
Well, it's not... I've read the legislation. It's not crypto. It's not even anything close.
Yeah, it's just internet points, just ran by the government instead of World of Warcraft or Second Life.
Yeah, and the way it's written, it's like, well, if we need to print, like... Well, you know, we need to... I know print's not the right word.
Issue would be the word.
Issue, right. So they... Well, we need to issue X amount for that, and the coin goes down in value. Are they going to go, well, you have to spend X amount today, otherwise we're just going to wipe it out of your account?
I mean, they could. There's actually, if you're talking about a Fed coin and it's not a true blockchain tracked cryptocurrency, which I doubt it would be, because I don't see
no, they're not going to want to be transparent.
Right.
There's no way the Fed's going to want to be transparent.
Right.
You've got to be transparent, but the Fed doesn't have to be.
Right. They're going to want to run it like any MMO runs their money, right? It's going to be, you know, any of these apps where you buy a currency in-game, gems or coins or V-Bucks or whatever, where it's just a number in a database on their server. It's not real. Well, real is not the right word.
That's how they're...
It's just a number.
That's how they're looking to set it up, I think. It's for your ease and convenience. And by the way, we're only accepting this as payment.
I mean, the only difference between a federally issued virtual currency and what your bank does today is that they're skipping the step of some supposedly printing dollars that at some point got deposited into the banking system before it started getting traded around between accounts.
Yeah,
because I don't know about you. Well, actually, I do know about you. For me, I get paid via electronic check. I never actually get, I mean, I could get a printed check and cash it. I mean, I could still do that. I don't, because it's silly. It would be silly to do so. I mean, I could ask my company to give me a printed check, but they don't. They want to do electronic deposit. But if I had some reason to do it, I could request one. It'd be kind of a pain in the butt to get it done, though, because the service they go through only does electronic deposit just for cost reasons. So my money is effectively already virtual. There's no reason to issue a Fed coin if all you're doing is the same thing that the banking industry already does. You know, I'm trading numbers and accounts. I'm not trading physical pieces of paper marked dollar.
Let me just check last month's earnings. They're still there in the drawer.
So,
I don't. You like banks, man.
I know you.
Like, what a surprise! The man who doesn't own a phone doesn't like
that's,
banks.
That's the gag, right? I was getting ready to say I don't know what you do, but then I'm like, oh yes, I do actually. So, because we've talked about it.
I mean, you know, my fucking last issue was trying to take money to a bank. Sorry, sir, we don't accept money. We're a bank. The fuck, you don't accept money? You're a bank. No, you go put it in the machine outside. But I want cash. It's got to go through the machine, sir. And then you got to wait 24 hours before you can have your cash. No, you're not making this anymore. This is not good.
Well, and that's the gag, right? It's like if instead of your bank being able to freeze your accounts out, because we talked about that, like what was happening to the guys up in Canada who supported the trucker rally.
Yeah.
And now the government can just flat out do it. It's just like, well.
So. I know, like, most of what I'm doing will become obsolete if digital becomes the thing. And they want Australia fully digital by 2030.
No, that's not going to happen.
You're
going to have a lot more people fucking off to live off the grid in the outback if that's...
The only thing we're allowed to do in this country is pay taxes. That's the only thing we are allowed to do legally by the government. And I'm telling you, nobody wants to pay taxes. The black market's bigger than ever, especially now. Like, COVID really, really fucking... kicked it into overdrive.
Well, that's the problem, is you had a lot of these people who were waiting for the crisis that they couldn't let go to waste to start enacting all this stuff. And I think COVID fit that bill quite nicely. I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories about it, but...
Dude, I don't think COVID's over. It's not done yet.
No? Didn't China just go back into lockdown?
Yeah, but that's because Xi Jinping's got some internal problems within his political party right now. Let's just say he's looking a little weak on the international stage. And when that weakness shows, generally people go missing.
Compared to what? So, Joe Biden?
uh, there's a lot more than just America in the world. Sorry, Morps.
Well, yeah, I guess against what Russia's doing right now, Xi Jinping would look a little weak. Especially because I know that they were arguing over what currency oil would be traded in, and you know, Russia was trying to demand the ruble. I could see that being a problem.
You got to throw the Pakistani problem in. There's huge problems. I think they're going to bring it back. You'll probably see your resurgence around the midterms. And we're going to see our resurgence after this federal election.
I tell you, our midterms are going to be a bloodbath when it comes to, you know, the kick the bums out mentality.
I don't know, man. They're lining up right now. It's very interesting. But there is a war in the Democratic Party right now.
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about gerrymandering going on, too. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It's going to be interesting, yeah. Anyway.
I don't want to get too much further into politics. Let's do the next article, which is one I know you're not going to care about. It's from androidpolice.com. Malicious software, a.k.a. malware, is a huge problem for anyone who ends up saddled with it. It's not just the bad guys who are hiding software that can harm us, though. Some seemingly legitimate companies are doing things like collecting personal information without the user's knowledge or consent. This is far from the first case of malware slipping into the Google Play Store, but it looks like Google at least is doing something about the privacy violation after learning about a number of problematic Android apps in the Play Store. The search giant has taken measures to boost apps with hidden data harvesting software out of the store. So they're actually trying. I should summarize this. They got some of the lists from some of the different firms that were researching this, and a lot of the apps that had American as well as foreign intelligence collection stuff in them, Google Play is trying to kick them out. At the same time, it's not in this article, but it was in a related one. They're trying to kick out any apps that haven't been updated in a couple of years. So Google is actually trying to clean up the Play Store right now.
Okay.
So I don't have an Android device that I'm using day to day, so I'm not.
So is Google trying to get rid of competitors, or is it trying to clean up the place?
Six of one, half a dozen of the other, I would imagine.
But I was going to say, Google doesn't do anything if it doesn't benefit Google.
Well, speaking of companies that only do things that benefit themselves, I've got a much worse one for you. And this one is just painful. So, but I think you're right. I think Google's probably got some games they're playing with that Play Store. But this one's from Ars Technica. I should just read the headline. Project Zuckbucks. Meta plans virtual coin after a cryptocurrency flop.
It's not going to happen.
They're calling their virtual currency, which is not going to be a crypto coin, they're calling it Zuckbucks. Are you fucking kidding?
It's quickly going to get turned into Cuckbucks. You know that.
That's kind of why I'm making the joke. Meta has drawn up plans to introduce virtual coins, tokens, and lending services to its apps. Lending services are going to loan you virtual money. That's terrifying. Because you won't be able to pay it off in regular money. You'll have to buy their currency at whatever the exchange rate is to pay off a virtual loan. I mean, are you going to be loan sharking in the Facebook currency? Are you fucking kidding me?
This is how they're going to do the payday lending thing and get you.
Yeah, lending services.
People with low impulse control.
Well, I mean, you know, fucking Farmville players, right? So now you can take out a mortgage on your virtual asset. How terrifying is that? You're going to take out a mortgage on a game asset that's not even, like at least with a mortgage on a house, you have a house, right? For God's sake. As Facebook's parent company pursues its finance ambitions despite the collapse of a project to launch a cryptocurrency. The company, led by Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg, is seeking alternative revenue streams and new features that can attract and retain users as popularity falls for its main social networking products such as Facebook and Instagram, a trend that threatens its $118 billion a year ad-based business model. Facebook's financial arm, Meta Financial Technologies, has been exploring the creation of a virtual currency for the metaverse, which employees internally have dubbed Zuckbucks, according to several people familiar with the efforts. As opposed to Eye of Sauron, which I left that story out, but apparently Zuckerberg thinks it's cool to be called that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, dude. Is he out of fucking touch or what?
Yeah, like, I don't think he knows what that means.
Yeah, it means you burn your fucking anything you look at.
It's like retard. Calling somebody a boomer and they're like, that means I'm the bomb, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, wow, he really is a lizard.
I mean, that or he lives in a, you know, hermetically sealed cave in which he's only fed the things that the board thinks would be useful. This is unlikely to be a cryptocurrency based on the blockchain, some people have said. Instead, Meta is leaning towards introducing in-app tokens that would be centrally controlled by the company, similar to those used in gaming apps such as the Roblox currency in the popular children's game Roblox. Look up, okay, if you think Roblox is for children, you need to do some research on that company. It is fucking terrifying what goes on in that game. We talk about poor impulse control in Facebook. There are items floating around Roblox, which is like, you know, a virtual hat, which cost hundreds of thousands of their virtual currency, which translates to thousands of dollars of real money. And
wow,
it's in the hands of kids who don't know what they've got, usually with their parents' credit cards. It is insane.
Fuck.
And they have this whole in-game development thing, sort of like a Second Life, only badly. And, you know, supposedly people get paid for it. I mean, there's a YouTube channel that's done some, I should hunt it up. But yeah, Roblox is terrifying. It is not. Don't let your kids play Roblox. Do not let your kids play Roblox. According to the company memos and people close to the plans, Meta is also looking at the creation of social tokens or reputation tokens. So, you know, it's like those Japanese MMOs where you have multiple different currencies because you need different things.
Wow, reputation currency.
Mm-hmm. Which could be issued as rewards for meaningful contributions in Facebook groups, for example. Another effort is to make, quote, creator coins, unquote, that might be associated with particular influencers on its social sharing app, Instagram. I mean, this is like every cyberpunk nightmare. You get paid and they're like Ready Player One. You win money in the game and use it to buy food. I mean, come on. Meta has also been exploring more traditional financial services, such as a focus on helping people provide small business loans at attractive rates, according to several people familiar with the initiative. While noting while nothing is immediately planned, the company has previously held discussions with potential lending partners, one of the people said. Didn't Microsoft just get lambasted for putting a payday loan inside of Edge?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's all the rage at the moment, man. The future pay shit. I mean,
yeah, that's such a painful, man. Most of the efforts.
I'm just thinking, like, if you got kids, man, teach them about that. Don't go getting those fucking loans.
Take them camping every once in a while, leaving the damn electronic devices out in the, you know, at home or something.
There you go.
This is going to get bad. Most of the efforts are in the early stages of being discussed and could change or be dropped, although plans to integrate non-fungible tokens into its apps are more developed. Zuckerberg confirmed in an earlier Financial Times report that Instagram would soon start to support NFTs. There's an article about several people running the NFTs are being investigated for fraud and probably going to jail. So...
It was a great money laundering.
That's got to be what it was. According to one memo shared internally last week, Meta plans to launch a pilot for posting and sharing NFTs on Facebook mid-May. This will be, quote, quickly followed, unquote, by testing of a feature that will allow membership of Facebook groups based on NFT ownership and another method of minting, a term for creating NFTs. NFTs may be monetized via fees and or ads in the future, according to another internal document. Facebook, of course, declined to comment. Meta lost more than $220 billion from its market valuation in February on the day it revealed users were spending increased time on new arrivals, such as short-form video app TikTok. The company has recently sought out to find other sources of revenue to support e-commerce on the platform. Delving into cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology, its big tech rivals, such as Google and Apple, have been more cautious about diving into nascent space. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, Facebook is trying to diversify revenue, and they're doing it in all the worst ways possible.
Yeah. Why don't they just open a casino and call it done?
Well, what they need to do is what every other tech big guy has done, turn Meta into a parent company and start buying up things that aren't social media platforms. And, I mean, Facebook has bought a lot of companies, but they've all been social media platforms, whereas Google has bought a lot of technology companies, Amazon too, for that matter. You know, they need to diversify out so that they're not just dependent on people liking cat videos and playing Farmville and looking at photos of girls in bathing suits on Instagram, because I'm pretty sure that's where like a huge chunk of their money comes from. So,
I mean, listening to the discussion about what was going on with YouTubers last night was very interesting. It's essentially just a corporate ad hub.
Well, they want to turn, that's what they want to turn YouTube into, is they want to, the people running it want to turn it into a business safe, advertiser friendly platform, so anything mildly controversial has to go in the long term.
But the thing is, they won't do a goddamn thing about the fucking Elsa and fucking Spider-Man videos.
Either they make back
on that platform.
Either they make too much money, or they don't want to, they want to pretend they don't exist.
They're pretending they don't exist.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else to say on that one other than just...
No, either do I, dude. I just, it's a, one of the hills, it's the hill I'll die on. I don't care.
At least those haven't been recommended to me, so I'm not terribly... I mean, I didn't know they were back. I'd rather pretend they didn't exist, because it gets fucking weird when... Yeah, I remember when you showed us the compilation the first time. It's like, oh God, the autism, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's like weaponized grade autism. But
the internet's not getting better.
No.
The more corporate comes in, the worse it gets.
Well, they saw an opportunity to make money, and so like you were saying beforehand, the internet is no longer about making fun of people and having fun. It's now about...
No, it's about selling Toyotas and pants.
Yeah, there it is. So,
hey.
Which is really unfortunate.
I feel sorry for kids who are just getting into the internet today.
Miss the whole subculture of it, yeah.
Well, yeah, they miss the whole everything.
So,
just,
well, it's like you were talking about. I mean, I think we've probably got about five stages of internet to talk about, right? You had stage one, which is like, you know, back when they were doing it, using it for, you know, nuclear testing and, you know, government communication in the 60s. And, you know, you had a couple of universities and the DOD, and that was about it. Then you had Internet 2, which was early days, not BBSs. I mean, kind of BBSs, because some of them would hook into it. But, you know, 8-bit micros, everything's teletype, and your terminals and whatever.
Yeah.
Then you would have the next stage, kind of what you and I were calling Internet version 1.0, which was like Gopher and news groups, you know, pre-www stuff. When very, you know, IRC was big, but that was about it.
When porn sites were what you had to pay for.
Mm.
I remember. Credit card for the porn site.
And, of course, I missed most of this because I was too fucking young. I came in at the very tail end of this. Then we get into what we were calling Internet 2, which is like, you know, the Windows 3.1, Windows 95, 98 days. You had Winamp. You had, you know, early days of web browsers. You kind of had it all very underground and subculture.
Alta Vista.
Yes.
Alta Vista was the best fucking search engine.
MP3.com to get your music. Early days of that.
Yes. And then an amazing thing happened, and this thing called Napster happened. And that started a revolution.
Oh, so in high school, senior year of high school, a bunch of us had Napster because it would run from a fucking floppy disk, right? But, yeah, of course, you couldn't get a lot of files on floppy disks, of, you know, even MP3s. They just wouldn't flip and fit. So I had a Diamond Rio PMP300, like the first successful MP3 player. And it had these flash cards that you'd plug in with that were paper thin. So I had a 32 meg flash card and a 32 meg internal. So I would run Napster from a floppy disk on a school computer. And I don't remember the name of the program now, because the official Rio software wouldn't let you download files back off of the Rio. But I would then switch floppy disks after downloading my music onto the school's hard drive, right? Run the software that would let me then upload the stuff I just downloaded to the Diamond Rio, and then I would run it back home, run the same software to pull it back off, and save it to a zip drive. And then later I figured out I could just put the zip drive in my book bag, set the book bag up on the desk, and just bring the zip drive and skip the middle step of using the MP3 player.
Yeah.
And so then I did that. And, of course, the zip drive was too slow to run the program, but you could certainly save all your, you know, and then you download a bunch of stuff off Napster.
Yep.
On the school's T1 line. So it wasn't even a T1. I think it was an ISDN. But
go faster than home.
Much faster than that 28K modem I had. And then I got the 56K modem. That was fucking luxury, dude. AOL. And then it kind of devolved and got a little bit more corporate. And then people started shopping on the internet. Then it got a lot more corporate. And then Google changed their model from don't be evil to we want money. And here we are. Now everybody wants your real fucking name.
Never.
Next article. You know, assuming we have any listeners left who haven't jumped off a cliff. Next article is from deepaqua.me. The Pi user is dead. New Raspberry Pi OS April update removes the default Pi user. So I guess I should explain this a little bit. Anybody who's played with Raspberry Pis, the default Raspbian OS and almost everything that's based on it, so a lot of the 3D printer stuff that uses like OctoPrint, and, you know, a lot of the specialty Raspberry Pi images would start with Raspbian as the base image. And even the ones that didn't would still set up the Pi user as the default, because with a Raspberry Pi, you just kind of assume that's a login that's going to be good. And the user was Pi, P-I, and the password was Raspberry. And this was the default across a whole bunch of the Raspberry Pi images. So the first thing you had to do after you set up a new Raspberry Pi was change the fucking password to something the entire internet didn't know. So, and also, if you're ever pen testing and you come across a Raspberry Pi, try Pi Raspberry as your password as the first thing, because you never, anybody who forgot to change the password, guess what? Well, I guess the way the Pi Foundation is interpreting some of the EU's new regulations against default passwords, that means they have to get rid of it, and they figure if they're getting rid of the default password, they might as well get rid of the default username as well, since it's going to have to ask. So instead of just having a user account plugged in there that you can log into, now, and first time you run it, or if you use the Pi Imager, it's going to ask you to set the username and password for the device, like pretty much any other operating system that, you know, runs on a computer these days. It's a good thing from a security standpoint, but it is kind of the end of a tradition. So,
yeah.
You know, but it's not necessarily a good tradition. So, it is what it is. But, okay, next one up. This one is from Tom's Hardware and is kind of funny and kind of not. But AMD figured out something kind of bad. AMD confirms its GPU drivers are overclocking CPUs without asking. Whoops. AMD has confirmed to Tom's Hardware that a bug in its GPU driver is, in fact, changing Ryzen CPU settings in the BIOS without permission. This condition has been shown to auto-overclock Ryzen CPUs without the user's knowledge. Quote, we are aware of an issue with the AMD software suite that is adjusting certain AMD processor settings for some users. We are investigating the issue and will share more information as soon as we're able, unquote, AMD representative to Tom's Hardware. Reports of the issue began cropping up on various social media outlets recently, with users reporting that their CPUs had mysteriously been overclocked without their consent. The issue was subsequently investigated and traced back to AMD's GPU drivers. AMD originally added support for automatic CPU overclocking through its GPU drivers last year, with the idea being that a Ryzen Master module into the Radeon Adrenaline GPU driver would simplify the overclocking experience. Users with a Ryzen CPU and a Radeon GPU could use the One interface to overclock both. Previously, it required both the GPU driver and AMD's Ryzen Master software. Overclocking a Ryzen CPU requires the software to manipulate the BIOS settings, just as we see with other software overclocking utilities. For AMD, this can mean simply engaging the Auto Overclock Precision Boost Overdrive feature. The feature does all the dirty work, like adjusting voltages and frequency on the fly to give you a one-click automatic overclock. However, applying a GPU profile in the AMD driver can now inexplicably alter the BIOS settings to engage automatic overclocking. This is a problem because of the potential ill effects of overclocking. In fact, overclocking a Ryzen CPU automatically voids the warranty. So there's issue one. They put out a software update that just kills your warranty. AMD software typically requires you to click a warning to acknowledge that you understand the risks associated with overclocking and that it voids your warranty before it allows you to overclock the system. Unfortunately, that isn't happening here. So anybody who has managed to cook a Ryzen CPU, all they have to do is claim, yeah, I had a Ryzen or a AMD graphics card and it overclocked it. It just did it. I didn't do it. So, overclocking isn't suitable for our systems, particularly those with lower-end coolers or motherboards, for instance, or laptops, for that matter. Naturally, overclocking also exposes you to increased risk of blue screen of death, can ultimately result in loss of data. Overclocking can also cause other ill side effects, like excessive heat generation is a problem if you don't have a suitable cooler. Luckily, Ryzen CPUs have robust protection features built in to prevent any physical damage to the chip. Still, system instability from a warranty voiding feature isn't acceptable if you aren't made aware of the risks first. As such, the author is sure that AMD will work quickly to resolve the issue. The company says that it will share information soon. So, yeah, the AMD official software is overclocking your system without asking, which sounds great until you realize that not everybody puts a better cooler in their system, or they might be running a laptop, or they might live in a part of the world where parts of the year you can't play AAA games because the computer will catch fire.
I mean, I just love it. It's a feature. Yeah. It's a warranty voiding feature.
I mean, what do you say to that? It's like, whoops. I don't think overclocking should void your warranty personally, because you're not overclocking used to involve, you know, back in the internet 2.0 days, like we were talking about, overclocking used to involve opening the computer, changing jumper settings, and then tweaking BIOS settings. You knew you were fucking doing it, right? There was no one-click automatic easy button overclock. You had to sit there and figure out what voltages were stable. You had to figure out what drivers would accept an overclock. Because I don't know about you, but I definitely had it because I had a AMD FX, not an FX, what was that? It was an AMD 3000 Plus. Back in the day, I overclocked the snot out of that thing. But you had to be careful about what GPU drivers you'd install, because often the moment they came out, if you installed them, your machine would die. It just wouldn't boot. You'd have to reset the BIOS, go back in there. I had a little cheat sheet of all the settings that would work for that chip, of, you know, when your voltage was set to about a volt or about half a volt over. You know, of course, I had a beefed up cooler on the machine and a bunch of extra fans. Of course, the computer sounded like it was going to take off every time you turned it on. But yeah, I had an original Radeon first edition 64 meg card in that machine, and Oh, I forget the name of it now. There was a guy who did the modified drivers for them. And you had to wait on him to publish the modified drivers before you installed it because I had overclocked the CPU and the damn thing would just blue screen if you didn't.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Overclocking used to be a right pain in the ass. Nowadays, it's just twiddling a few settings in Ryzen Master, and it's no wonder a software bug caused it to happen by accident. I don't think that ought to be warranty voiding because it's not like you know you're doing it, and it's not like, and even if you do know you're doing it, I mean, you're just flipping some settings in a control panel, right? I mean, that shouldn't void your warranty. It's all
No.
software.
You see, like back in the day, yeah, because it took some effort. That's voiding a warranty, but not a one-click
I mean, if you had to get out a
program.
pencil and draw on your CPU to connect to the little test pads on the top of it, because that's what I fucking did to that 3000. I actually had a sticker for a what was that machine? It wasn't the 3000 that I put the sticker on. Oh, what was it? It was a Xeon chip to make it work. You had a little sticker you stuck on the bottom of it because it flipped the signals on some pins so that you could stick that Xeon chip in a regular consumer board and then overclock the
Wow.
snot out of it. Yeah. Like, you fucking knew you were doing this shit and you knew that
Yeah.
there was a good. Like, you almost needed a soldering iron, right?
Yep.
It's like the old Commodore days where you're doing mods that involve buying parts at Radio Shack and drilling holes in the case. Hell, I did a CP, I did a serial port LCD screen in a build one time. I think it was that 3000 build. And, stuck it in behind a piece of acrylic that we cut to fit in a drive bay. Just watch the CPU temps and the fans and all that because, yeah, you knew you were overclocking. I mean, there was some work there. This whole install a water loop and just click the button for auto overclock. I mean, come on. And you're going to void their warranty for that? Really? Yeah. Last article. It's from The Verge. I don't think we're going to read the whole thing because we're getting close on time. But, well, it's not that long. It's from The Verge. Last article. These are the words that Amazon's planned employee chat app won't let you say.
Are you gonna do a George Carlin here? The words that Amazon won't let you say.
Yes, only instead of oh, I used to know that by heart, but now I'm forgetting it. Shit, damn motherfucker. I'm forgetting all the rest of the words you can't say on television. Fuck. I used to know that cold, and now I don't. Yeah, now it's unfair, master slave, injustice, ethics, diversity, fairness, and restroom.
Really? You can say nigger as much as you want? I can just get on there and start faggot this, faggot that, and still keep a job?
Probably
I think
not.
the list is a lot larger than those ones.
I'm sure it is.
Because I'm pretty sure if, I said, look at that faggot nigger down there dressed as a troon, I would be
Well,
fired.
the original article is from The Intercept, and I don't know if they ha I didn't I should look. Does The Intercept have the full list? I don't like going to The Intercept because they're thing. Oh, they do have the full list. The Intercept has the full list. I hate union, fire, terminated, compensation, pay raise, bullying, harassment, I don't care, rude, this is concerning, stupid, this is dumb, prison, threat, petition, grievance, injustice, diversity, ethics, fairness, accessibility, vaccine. Why is that on there? Senior ops, living wage, representation, unfair
Wow.
favoritism, rate, TOT. TOT, I don't know what TOT is. Unite
Man.
slash unity, plantation, slave labor, master, concerned, freedom, restrooms, robots.
Wow.
Trash committee and coalition.
Wow.
So yeah, apparently the internal chat, they're just going to ban the list of bad words. You're just not going to be allowed to say them, right?
then why even chat
don't
on these?
Don't use the. If you are trying to organize a union in an Amazon shop, don't use the company provided chat room.
I think that'd be a given.
Right? Go set up Signal accounts or something. The company provided chat room, really? I mean, restroom. You can't talk about going to the. You can't say, I have to go to the restroom. Because they're worried about people talking about pissing in bottles, probably.
I got to have a Snapple break.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be, is it's going to be code words for everything.
It's. Yeah, man, so, half the.
So new,
really
new
the
employees
bloody,
are going to have to spend a week learning all the coded language in the chat app.
That's one of the things I've noticed with a lot of podcasts and stuff like that. The amount of new words I have to learn every week just so they can get around the algorithms. The English language is evolving, but it shouldn't evolve this fucking quick.
It shouldn't evolve in the ways like this. Like being Wojcicki'd is a thing. It's like, what? What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means getting your channel banned. What?
Exactly.
Where the fuck is somebody's name?
Don't pull a Tubin. Why? Because you can't say fucking pull your dick out on the chat program. Don't say tranny, but say troon.
I mean, yeah, it's silly. I mean, it was a great gag in Doctor Who and Farscape when they were replacing curse words.
Oh, I know, right?
I mean, my friend group at school was using the Farscape curse words so we wouldn't get in trouble if we accidentally got overheard. It was hilarious.
The 3-hour.
Because then we got in trouble for using the words, because it's like, we know what that means. Once I figured it out, you know.
Like, they were doing the podcast yesterday. It was broadcast on YouTube. So they were really straining to explain themselves about some old internet stuff without getting banned.
Well, it's funny when you go watch people read news articles that have things in them that people are afraid to talk about on YouTube, how they start doing the language substitution. And it's just like, oh, my God. Because they've got it on the screen, right? Where, like, yeah. It'll say rape, and it'll say, you know, aggressive hugging or something like that when they're reading the line. It's just
struggle,
like, come
snuggle.
On. Yeah. Well, that one is probably a better one than the one I first struggle, snuggle. God. Yeah. I mean,
it's like they're freaking out about the word groomer now. I feel sorry if anybody's advertising their dog grooming fucking service.
Right?
Getting flagged.
I mean, it's pathetic. And what it is, honestly, it's the people who run these companies don't have a thick enough skin to just say, yeah, somebody's going to use a dirty word on our website. Whoopty fucking do. You know?
That's what I enjoyed about these guys. Well, I ran a... You know, Discord back in the day, and people complained that they were getting bullied. I banned them. I don't want people like that around. If you can't handle it, fuck off.
It's like, you know, welcome to the internet, right? I mean, come on. It's like those news articles about, you know, oh, they were teabagging him in Halo, and I felt violated. It's like, it's the internet. Have you not seen how people treat each other? Come on. So... Anyways, let's do this. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. Just real quick, because we are close to time. I think we started a few minutes late, so what's the recording say? 53 minutes, 30 seconds. So yeah, we want to... We're not doing
Either way.
We're okay. First one is markups.org. This is fun. So... Because car prices have gotten stupid lately, this website was put together to help track car dealerships that are marking up their prices aggressively due to shortages or due to just lack of supply, right? So it's all self-reported, so take it with a grain of salt. But if you are car shopping and you're kind of hoping to avoid getting ripped off, you know, just scrolling through here, maybe avoid things like the Pinnacle Ford Lincoln in Kentucky. because they've marked up a Maverick Hybrid $17,000. Or the Westfield Ford in Illinois. I guess we're picking on Ford today. Because they've marked up a F-150 Raptor $20,000.
Damn.
I mean, I know that there's a car shortage on right now. But this is ridiculous. So if you're just kind of looking for a guide of maybe... I mean, it's all end user reported, right? Now, I don't know how they're defining the markup, because does anybody actually still sell cars for sticker price?
Not aware.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know, but and it is all user reported, so it might be somebody who, you know, decides that they've been ripped off, goes in and puts something in, right? But it's an interesting website, so it's a data point. And the other thing I have for you tonight is an interesting little open source project called NoiseTorch. And this is strictly a Linux project, because it hooks into Pulse Audio. But what this guy does is it hooks into Pulse Audio or Pipewire, and it's the exact same thing as the NVIDIA RTX voice noise filter, except it doesn't require an NVIDIA card. It's open source and it's free on Linux. So if you want to set up one of those crazy noise filters, or if you're trying to do some recording in a noisy environment and you're on a Linux box or feel like setting up, I mean, it's open source. There's no reason you couldn't. I bet you could compile this on a Raspberry and make a nice little filter box. You know what I mean? So there's lots of project ideas for this thing. Or if you're on a Steam Deck and, you know, you're wanting to get on Discord or TeamSpeak or Vent or whatever we're using these days, on like a Steam Deck running Linux, this might be a way to go. So, yeah, just it's kind of that AI based noise filter for knocking out your background voice. I did watch a couple of videos on people using it, and yeah, they're doing the whole hold the fan up to the microphone while they're talking, and they lose a bit of fidelity in their voice when they're talking, but you don't ever actually get the fan noise. So you can tell there's not as much of their voice audio making it into the microphone, but the software's still doing a decent enough job of filtering it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, good times. But that's all I've got for us tonight. Of course, listen to the show. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The stream is still running. I'm honestly not sure what I want to do with that. I need to redesign the front page of the website. We've still got a show on there that we haven't done since 2019, still posted up on the homepage. So that's our attempt at relaunching IHN.
Won't happen.
Yeah, I need to come up with something else for the homepage. I haven't made up my mind. I'm open to suggestions. So if somebody wants to send me ideas of what we want to do with Galaxy 15, I mean, I don't know that even keeping a live stream going with the music on it, because, you know, really we haven't updated the music in a long time. And the last time I tried, I just didn't get a response from a lot of people, probably because I said I'm running an internet radio station on Icecast, and they're like, what? It's like, are you on YouTube?
How old are you?
No.
How old are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have to change it.
So I'm open to ideas. I don't want to go streaming on Twitch or doing YouTube Live or Facebook or bullshit like that. I don't want to do video.
I think we just do a show and upload it each week and just let it sit there.
Yeah, I mean, that's an option. You know, I don't have to live stream it. I like the live streaming component, but I'm not certain.
I mean,
that
I'd like to keep live streaming, but I don't think we need the music anymore.
Yeah, so we'll give it a thought. We'll give it some thought. I'll talk it over with some of the guys, see if we can come up with something. But yep. I'm not sure what I want to do. Long term, though, I'm open to ideas. I don't want to hook it into an existing social media site, because that just defeats the point.
Nope.
It defeats the point.
We stay independent. I don't care.
I don't want to be beholden to somebody else's rules.
Listening to these podcasts lately of older dudes talking about the way it used to be and how they're all getting out of it now because they get kicked off of everything. It's just not worth it. I'm screaming at build your own shit.
I mean, you know? It's not fun anymore if you have to censor yourself.
If we went to a big platform, dude, I could not do the show.
If we went to a big platform, we couldn't do it live because I would have to go back into the recording and splice in the beeps for all the shit we're not allowed to say.
I wouldn't do a show that I'm edited on, man.
Yeah.
It's not a prima donna thing. It's just a principled thing.
So,
I mean, if I got invited on someone else's show and I agreed, then yeah, but I'm not going on.
I'm not going to take the time to edit, and I don't want to self-censor.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to sit here and manage what I say. I do have some other projects where I might do that, but the focus is going to be very different. So it's not going to be about, here's my opinion on something. It's probably not going to be much talking in those at all that I think about it. So it's like, here's a time lapse of something. Here's it being soldered together. Here's it working. There might be a bit of voiceover to explain it. That'd be about it. I got nothing else. Are you closing thoughts? Or is that it?
That's about it. I was going to close with the Hunter Thompson dick pic NFT joke, but I just couldn't write it quick enough.
Well, I'll just leave that up to the listener's imagination then.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go through the new Picard show to see if there's a replacement for Shut Up Wesley, but I haven't heard one yet, so let's see.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm.
But shut up, Wesley.